from Hebrews chapter 6, encouraging us to faith. I don't claim to be an authority on anything except what the Lord gives me by His Word. I feel very inferior to many of you when it comes to faith. But I thank God for what faith we have. And I'm doing my very best to exercise it with all my heart. But I do have a certain degree of faith and patience. And I'm thankful for that. And I want to encourage us in that way this morning. Hebrews 6, feel greatly inspired with this. We'll start at verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want to stress that. The Lord wants us not to be slothful or drawing back, but He wants us to be followers of them, as many more before us, who have endured and suffered and held on and kept believing till the end. Or we might say till the fulfillment of their faith. If it was so that we could just pray and then just have the answer right now, it would not be so difficult and would not be so glorious. But since it isn't that way all the time, sometimes it has been, the Lord has answered prayer right now, sometimes. But there are times that there's going to be some time elapse, some enduration. Lord, pray for my voice. And I better not talk to them. A little closer to the mic. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Oh, I forgot about that. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. We want to see people healed, and we thank God for the healing that He has done. But there are times when God calls upon us to be enduring, holding fast through a space of time. How long, we don't know. Sometimes it seems like it's extra long. But we want to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now that the key there is inheriting those promises and then enduring and waiting patiently until they're fulfilled. Now that's the slant I get on this. That's the way it seems like it works in the Scriptures. And in my life, and I've seen it in many other lives. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, and we have Abraham as the father of the faithful, he was given this wonderful title of a father of a great multitude. And that great multitude is the faithful of all ages. And why was he the father of the faithful? Because he set an example of endurance, of holding on, of believing. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. Now there's something about this we need to look. When did he say this? Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. When did he say that? Do you know the scriptures well enough to tell me when did he say this? It doesn't come to light until when he offered up Isaac on the altar. And the Lord said, by myself have I sworn. All right, then that goes back that he did it when he first gave the promise to Abraham. See, he said, by myself have I sworn. You can find it in Genesis 22. I'm driving at a point here that Genesis 22 was, according to what we can find in the records, Josephus and different ones, Isaac was 25 years old when this happened. He was not a little boy. He was a young man. And when did Abraham get the promise about Isaac? 25 years before Isaac was born. So don't you see, there's got to be some faith and endurance. Now I wish that I could get this over to the young people. You know, when I was saved, I didn't realize all the trials of faith and patience I was getting for. You don't know. But this is the lot of a Christian. This is the lot of a child of God, is to endure trials of adversity and delay, waiting on the Lord. Oh, that's a great message in the scriptures. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. He said that when Isaac was offered up. After Isaac had been taken off the altar, and God had put Abraham to the proof, and he saw that he was going to take that knife and slay his son, he stopped him and he says, don't lay thine hand upon the child. Because now I know. You know, we think about, well, God, didn't he know it all the time? Does God know us all the time? Sure he does. But he wants us to know us. He wants us to be assured of our own faith. And therefore he gives us the trials. You're going to live for God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have trials of faith. Don't be mistaken about it. You're going to have long, drawn-out trials of faith. You're going to suffer. The Lord's going to let things happen to you that you never thought would ever happen to you. But you hold on with a faith unfailing. You be patient and endure with a faith unfailing. Through the day after day, the delay, the withholding, the trying, the pressing, you just hold right on. Keep on, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when Abraham was promised by God, God promised him and he swore by no greater than himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee. Read it in Genesis 27. And the Lord said, by myself have I sworn that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Thy seed above the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. 25 years before Isaac was born, Abraham got the promise that he would have a son. 25 years, that's a long time. That's a long time. That's a time enough for a little boy to grow up to be a man. That's a long enough time for a middle-aged man to get to be an old man. And that's what happened. Abraham come to the place at the age of 75 years old when he went out of Haran and was taken over to the Canaan land. And the Lord said, "This is your land." And he also made him a promise that he would have a seed after him. Well, a year after year after year after year went on, and no seed. 25 years. Finally, when he was 99 years old, the Lord got a little closer to him and told him that you will have a son and your wife will have a son. And he fell on his face and laughed. You see, this faith is no snap. This faith requires diligence. This faith requires earnestness, steadfastness, determination, endurance, suffering, patience. That's what faith is. Don't expect it to be easy. It's not going to be easy. If it's easy, it won't mean anything to you. But if it's hard and difficult and you have to press and you have to hold on, you have to suffer, you have to fight the devil, you have to fight unbelief, you have to fight difficulties, discouragement, what people say, you just hold right on. That's your faith. You want to do it? You want to live a life of faith? Well, I do, because I see a glory in it. I see a blessing in it. I see this is the way God reveals himself to us. This is the way God puts us to the test. If he would promise something and then give it to us the next day, there would be no test. But he gives you a promise, and you've got the promise. And then it doesn't come. And it doesn't come. And you just suffer on. And you just go on and on. And you say sometimes, "Lord, how long is this going to go on? I thought you promised me thus and so." That's just God's way of doing it. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me what I can do to change it. I can't. This is God. This is the Almighty God, the way he deals with his people. 25 years after Abraham got the promise, little Isaac was born. Oh, don't you know he was happy? "I've had to wait a long time for you, little man. I'm so glad you came to our house. Isn't it wonderful, Sarah? We have a son." A few little things happened in between time that wasn't very good. Sarah had an idea. Remember that? "Abraham, I can't have a son. I'm not barren. I can't. Now, I've got a maid here. Read about it. She can have a son." What? Trouble started. See, but the Lord took advantage of that to bring out some thoughts. But all this time, see, Abraham has holding on to this confidence that God's going to give me a child. Finally, one day he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live." The Lord said, "No, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be through Sarah." Visited him one day there in the heat of the day in the tent door. While they were sitting there, Abraham entertained these three men. One of them was the Lord, two of them was angels. While they're sitting there eating, "Where's your wife, Sarah?" "Oh, she's back in the tent." You know, these stories are vivid to me because I've almost lived them over myself. At a certain time, the time appointed, your wife's going to have a son. And Sarah back in the tent, can't you see her just kind of laughing a little bit about that? Why'd you laugh? See, she was back in the tent. Hidden back in the tent. Lord knew her. Lord saw her laughing back there. He said, "Why'd you laugh for?" "Oh, I didn't laugh." He said, "You did laugh." It'd be kind of bad to deny to contradict the Lord, wouldn't it? But
You know, us people, you got to watch yourself. You get in trouble. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time of life, you will have a son. Now then, we got to read in between the lines. Hebrews 11 says this, and I love this. Hebrews 11 and 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Get this. You got to read between the lines. In the Genesis, it doesn't say this. In Genesis, it just kind of, she laughed. And the Lord reproved her. And that subject is dropped. They go on to Abraham dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. But let's read between the lines. Now, I'll tell you what I read. I read this. After this all happened, and Sarah had laughed, she got to thinking. And that's something you and I need to do. We need to ponder. We need to study. We need to meditate. Mary pondered these things in her heart. I tell you that Sarah says, me have a son at my age? Well, if the Lord said it, it will be. Why not? Why don't we just accept it as faith and truth and believe it? That's what she did. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You and I are called upon to enter into a life not by sight, not by how things look, not by conditions, not by how happenings usually come, but by faith in God. That's what we live by. You don't go with, well, now usually it happens like that. No, you don't. You don't take that. I don't know how many times I've told the devil to his face. Said, I ain't going to go that route. That's not the way it is. The Lord said it. The Lord's going to bring it to pass. The Lord's going to take care of me. He's going to heal my body. He's going to work out my problems. Yes, but did you see that? No. Hogwash. Leave it alone. The Lord's going to take care of me. Have faith in God. Trust the Lord. Well, if you will, Lord, will you heal me? Cast that question out. The Lord's going to heal me. He is going to heal me. I'm trusting in Him. Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. What a wonderful time when Isaac was born. According to Josephus, I don't know if you ever read much of Josephus, but I've read in Josephus and I kind of like it. Adam Clark cast doubts upon him in his commentaries. I don't know. But it stands to reason as Josephus, a Jewish historian, said that Isaac was 25 years old when the Lord called Abraham to offer him up as a burnt offering. Well, now let's suppose that's true. 25 years old. Let's look at it. In searching the scriptures, if you'll watch closely, you'll see that Sarah was not where Abraham and Isaac was. I don't know if you've ever tried to search that out, but you ought to search it out. Don't you know Abraham would have had a problem if he had run into his wife about this thing? But according to what you can see in the scriptures, Sarah was not there. All right.
Wake up, Isaac, my son.
We're going on a journey.
Where are we going, Father? We're going to the land of Moriah.
The Lord has showed us to go and make an offering there.
All right. Let's get the young men and the donkeys and we'll get some wood. We'll get some fire. It's going to be quite a journey. I don't know exactly where it is, but the Lord's going to show us. See, the Lord had told him, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him up there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. I'll tell thee. See, he told him to do that. Abraham is going to obey. Burnt offering. You know what a burnt offering is? Can you picture what a burnt offering, what they do in a burnt offering? They take this victim, whatever it is, a goat or a bullock or a sheep, and they bind it up and tie it with cords to the altar. They slay it. They spill its blood. And then they burn it to ashes. That's burnt offering. And so Abraham knew that this is what he's going to do to his son. What the Lord told him to do, and he's going to do it. Obedience is the spark of faith. Abraham had faith and he obeyed God. And he went to the land of Moriah. Finally, on the third day, the Lord showed him where it was. He left the young men and the donkeys behind. And he and Abraham went on foot. He told the young men, abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and I'll be coming back. Is that what he said? Oh, dear old Father Abraham, you know, I've said this, I mean it with all my heart. I just hope I can make it to heaven. I'm living for it. I want to walk up to Abraham, and I don't know if I'll get to embrace him or just shake his hand or whatever. I want to tell him, dear Father Abraham, you meant so much to me in my life. You helped me so much. No, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and will return unto you. We're coming back. And so they went up and they finally got to the place. Well, Isaac questioned his father, put him under a little pressure. Father, I believe we're missing something here. We have the wood, we have the fire. Now where is the lamb? Lord help. That's a pretty close place. Abraham said simply, my son, the Lord will provide himself a lamb for the offering. So they went both of them on together. They got to the place. Josephus has it a little more vividly described, which I think is very good and very touching. Anyway, Abraham got ready to build the altar. And he turned to his son and he said, my son, I shed many tears and I prayed many prayers for you to come to be my son. And now, he says, God has planned to take you out of the world by means of a religious ordinance, observance. I believe that he is wanting to get you out of the world and save you from trouble. At any rate, we must be submissive to God. And it said that Isaac, 25 years old now, just imagine. A lot of children had said, you think you're going to do that to me? You better think again. I'm not going to let you burn me to ashes. Do you know what Isaac said? He said, Father, I was not worthy to come into this world in the start. And now I cannot withhold the requirement that God has put upon you. So he just went right willingly to the altar. He allowed his father to bind him. Somebody would say, well, why did he have to bind him? Well, he didn't have any confidence in the flesh. You better bind that thing. Bound Isaac, his son, put him on the wood, took the knife to slay his son, and then the Lord stopped it. So you see, you think, and we think, it's going to be thus and so. But we don't know. We don't know how the Lord's going to work things out. Sometimes He will inspire, you know, I just believe, dear ones, that we should live so close to the Lord that we can get His direction, that He can inspire us, that He can help us. Even in our service this morning and praying for the sick, we've been praying since early morning, begging the Lord for direction and inspiration. We've been fasting and praying. We've been pouring out our hearts to Him. And somehow I know God's going to bless us and help us here today. God bless you. Encourage your heart. I want to mention one more thought about faith in the Old Testament. I believe we have just two places where the word F-A-I-T-H was in the Old Testament. One of them is in Deuteronomy 32, where it spoke about Israel being a people who had no faith. And the other one is in Habakkuk, the second chapter, where it says, behold, the soul of him that is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And he picks it up over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, it said it a little bit different. It was a Septuagint translation they were using in the Hebrew. The Greek translation says the same thing, but says it in a different way. The just shall live by his faith. But that word faith from which it's translated, the word in the Hebrew, is not the only two times they are mentioned. It is mentioned over and over and over in the Old Testament. And in studying it out, it's really wonderful that this word from the Hebrew is the root word of our word, amen. You know what amen means? It's just about a universal word. Now, what is it in German? Amen. What is it in Spanish? About the same, I think. Amen. It's a universal word. You know what it means? The root word in the Hebrew is associated with the same word as truth. Ha ha. Brother Keith, yesterday in the ministers' meeting, he got my soul all fired up. He just started talking about the truth. I tell you, my thoughts went like a... I don't know what. In the script. But truth. This is something. It's truth. Well, that's the root word for faith. In the Hebrew. It means stability. Steadfastness. Assurance. Confidence. Credence is another word. Credence. You know what credence is? Look at it. Credence. Compare it to credit. Now you know what credit is, don't you? What is credit? What's when I go down and borrow some money? Well, now what's the deal about borrowing the money? Banker gives you the money with belief that you're going to pay him. That's, he wouldn't let you have it if he didn't think you was going to pay him. He wouldn't let you have it, would he? Credit is really a great thing in our society. I mean, people go on it quite a bit. And as long as you pay and keep your payments up, you do pretty good. And you have a good record, and they say, you want to borrow some money, and I don't advise doing that unless you have to, and you better watch out about that have to. But if you go to borrow money, if you have a good record and a good payment record, they're usually
let's have it, believe you will pay him back. See, that's credit. Credence goes along with this. We don't have it yet, but Lord, I believe it's coming. See? Credit. Give God credit. Give God credit for something He hasn't given you yet. That's faith. Believe it so. Praise the Lord. Sister Melinda Penner told about one time down at Shawnee whenever she went to buy a car. She was a woman of faith. Sister Melinda Penner was a woman of faith. She was a matron at Shawnee for a number of years. She went to this car man, I believe it was a car dealer, what she's dealing with. And she told him, I want to buy a car, but she says, I can't promise you. Well, how was she said that? She said, I don't have a lot of income, but I believe that the Lord's going to help me pay for this car. And so, the man looked at her and kind of sized her up, I guess, and finally decided to take her up on it. All right, I'll sell you the car. I don't remember what the payments were, but she never missed a payment. She paid him every time. One day, the boss man, car dealer, called her into his office. She'd gone in there to make a payment, and he called her in. He said, you know, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. We call you our faith customer. And he said, you know, he said, we've got people here buying cars. A man and woman both are working, and they can't keep their payments up. Credit. Credency. Believing. Counting God faithful. And you know, dear ones, I want to say something and encourage you. Children, listen to me. Start your faith life now in the little things that you have to meet. You say, well, I don't know why I had to have this. This is your chance to have some faith. You got to get your faith going. You got to get it exercised. And remember, those who had faith before you, be a follower of them who had faith and patience and who inherited the promises. I think about one promise the Lord has given us, and it hasn't come to pass yet. How's our faith on it? He said that He was coming again. He left that promise. The angels told those brethren when Jesus went up into the heavens, He said, this same Jesus will come again. That's been nearly 2,000 years ago. It hasn't come to pass yet. Do we still believe it? Peter said there would be some that would not believe it. They would cast it aside as there were as a promise of His coming. But we must hold fast our faith. He is coming again. He left us that promise. He is coming again. Let's be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God bless you.